Good morning. So, hand check. Everyone all have still have five fingers on each hand?
I think so.
Oh, looks like a few people had a good 4th of July. No, I'm kidding. As long as you still have your five fingers on both hands, we had a good 4th, right? No. I heard, do you know what you call a duck on fire? A fire quacker. Yeah. All right. Hey, come on. It's the 4th of July. Give me a little bit of a break here.
Hold on. I got to write that down.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 23. We are going to continue on a series of sermons that we've been doing. I first want to say just thank you to Pastor Chaz, who filled in for me while I took a bit of a break the last few weeks. It was a wonderful time of we had a wonderful, my wife and I got away to Amish country for a few days, and then we went down to Dayton for a graduation party and just was able to spend some time. It was really nice. And then we came home and I need another vacation from the time we came home because we had our two grandkids for a full week. It's first time mom and dad went on vacation, so we had a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old in our house all week long. And I jokingly told my wife, as the kids went home on Saturday, we clapped each other's hands and said, "We made it!" And then we fell asleep. I didn't eat my first dinner standing up or sitting down until the Monday after they left. So, literally running around the house chasing grandkids. But I wouldn't have it any other way. It was a wonderful thing. June is always a month filled with a crazy month for us. We have our anniversary, of course, but we also have both of our birthdays and then Father's Day and everything else thrown in there. June seems to go by like a blur. I can't believe that it's like it's past July 4th already, and it's hard for me to say that, but it's crazy. So today we're going to be looking at what is arguably the most popular book in the Bible. It's definitely the most popular psalm in the Bible, and we're actually going to, I took a page after Pastor Chaz, and I thought, man, this psalm is way too packed full to do in one Sunday, especially on July 4th when we're all still on a little bit of a, I almost said hungover, but that's not what I mean, not in that way, we're just kind of here because, you know, it's a vacation weekend, everyone's been full of parties and those types of things. In June, I had an opportunity to serve at a funeral. And as I was preparing for the message, the family asked me if I would read Psalm 23. And I had been preparing for this series of sermons for a while and thinking about Psalm 23. And Psalm 23 has become what's called the funeral psalm in many ways. It's one of these psalms that you hear all the time at funerals. And as I was preparing in the beginning of June for this funeral, I was thinking to myself, it's interesting that we read Psalm 23 at funerals. Yes, I realize in the middle, we're going to read it in a moment. And in the middle of the psalm, it says, I almost switched into my new King James. Lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. That's not even New King James. That's King James, brother. Let me tell you. Lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We take that one passage out of the middle of the Psalm 23 and we make it all about funerals. But the truth of the matter is David is speaking this psalm, and it's way more than just, it wasn't even intended to be a funeral psalm. David is using the psalm as a reminder of what and who God is in his life. It was a proclamation that David is making. He's making this proclamation about how wonderful God is, and it's a reminder to himself just about what it is. And yes, David was walking through the valley of the shadow of death because his mentor, his person that he served for so many years, King Saul, is trying to kill him. And David is at every step of his life seeming to try to protect his life. Psalm 23 definitely brings us comfort in a difficult time. I'm not taking it away from Psalm 23 as being a funeral sermon. It is okay to use this during funerals because it does bring you comfort to know that in the midst of the biggest trouble that we have in our life, in the midst of saying goodbye to a loved one that was in our life, we can have hope because God is there. But David didn't intend this to be only used at that time. In fact, I think we often do a disservice or a discredit to Psalm 23 by only using it during funerals. And so today I want to read through this. I want us to read together Psalm 23. Now, some of you will be able to do it from memory, and that's fine. That's great. The words will be on the back behind us. But I want to read it together, and then we'll jump in. So will you read with me? Let's start Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for just who you are. Lord, I thank you for all that you have done in our lives and that you are doing in our lives. And Lord, we thank you for Psalm 23 and how it brings comfort in the midst of trouble sometimes as we say goodbye to loved ones. But we also thank you for Psalm 23 as we look at this and say, this was a proclamation to be made. And so Lord, help us today as we dive in and we break apart Psalm 23 that you help us to make the proclamation that you are our shepherd. You are the one who loves us and cares for us and guides us and strengthens us. Lord, may we understand why David wrote these words. Help us to grasp that. Holy Spirit, we ask you that you'd be with us today, that you open our ears and our eyes and our senses so that we can be with you, understanding what you would say. Bring us the truth that we need. Convict us at our hearts. Encourage us where we need to be encouraged. And lead us where we need to be led, Father. We thank you, Father, for all of these things. I pray, Lord, that my words would not be my own, but I truly can honor you and that I could speak what you would say to us today. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise because you deserve that and so much more. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalm 23 starts out very, very easily. One of the most common things that you'll hear. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Have you ever thought about that for a moment, though? You know, I often think about what it means to be a shepherd. You know, pastors are often said, you're a shepherd. That's a acronym for us. Now, the ultimate, the greatest shepherd of all was Jesus Christ, right? And I do not even come close to fulfilling the calling. Jay said some really nice words. But honestly, he is the one that I want to have faith like Jay. I want to have the faith of Jesus. I want to walk with him. I want to be like him. I want people, when they see me, I don't want them to see me. I want them to see Jesus. And so when we look at this and we say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David is making a very, very clear comment here. One that we have to understand and that we have to grasp a hold of. I ask this question, the Lord is my shepherd, but is he really? Do you know what a shepherd, if we boil this down, we know what a pastor does. We hear Jesus being called a shepherd, but do you know what a shepherd actually did during scripture or during biblical times? He was the one who kept the sheep safe. He was the one who faced all of these things. The sheep would hear his voice. You know, I watched a video this week. It was really interesting. It was in a foreign country, so you couldn't understand the language. I thought about showing it today, but it was, you wouldn't have been able to understand anything they were saying. And so this young man brought a group of people to his sheep. His sheep are on the hillside. And he says, say these exact words. And they speak the words that he's calling the sheep. He had 10 people up there doing it. And the sheep never once lifted their eyes. Never once stopped grazing in the grass when everyone else did it. When the shepherd got up there and in his voice said those same words, the sheep lifted their heads, they looked, and they came running to the shepherd. I laugh because yesterday we had a little bit of a family picnic, and we were at our house, and I was trying to get our chickens into the coop because we were going to let my nephew's dog run around the yard, and I didn't want him chasing on the chickens. And so we started calling the chickens, and no one would come. So I got the bag of mealworms and started shaking it, and you should see the chickens running. I felt like a shepherd because you're shaking the mealworms, and all the chickens, you know, running after the mealworms. It's funny. But a shepherd does more than just bear the name shepherd. A real true shepherd in the field today is one who controls and helps and takes care of the flock. He leads the flock to green pastures. He leads the flock to where they can eat. He can lead the flock also to water where they can drink. Sometimes he has to beat the sheep because they are not listening. There's a reason why shepherds have what's called a shepherd's hook. Everyone know what a shepherd's hook is, right? Sometimes he literally has to take that hook, wrap it around their neck, and yank that sheep back. It's not always this fun, beautiful job. In fact, being a shepherd is stinky, it's difficult, it's sweaty, it's a hard job to do. Yet the sheep respond to the shepherd. Without the shepherd, the sheep would not necessarily know where to eat. The sheep would not necessarily know even where to go get a drink. Sheep are not always the smartest animal in the world. I'm laughing because Brian's looking at me going, nope, they're not at all. But sheep are, well, let's face it, sheep are sometimes dumb and they don't know where to go. And they need a shepherd to guide them and direct them. And so, but saying that the Lord is my shepherd means that you have to fully give yourself over to the shepherd, the Lord. And that means giving up of yourself. See, the sheep do sometimes have their own will, and you will find them oftentimes sometimes walking off from the rest of the flock, and the shepherd will have to go and get them, because otherwise, left to their own devices, a sheep can get lost in the hills and then attacked by an animal and killed. Together, the flock is safe. Together, the flock is protected by the shepherd, and the shepherd can protect them. You know, oftentimes what happens to sheep who are left alone without a shepherd, especially in a foreign country with cliffs and those types of things, is that sheep will often walk right off a cliff and kill themselves. The shepherd is someone who guides. The shepherd is someone who directs. The shepherd is someone who will control and help them so that they do not hurt themselves. If God asks you to give up your greatest joy, would you be able to do it? Because that's what sheep do. Sheep give up their own will to follow the will of the shepherd because they know and trust that the shepherd's decision for them will be the best. It's not something that they question. It's not something that they go, I don't think he has the best interest in heart for me. A sheep never once thinks that. A sheep always knows that the shepherd is going to protect and guide and strengthen them until he... Never mind, I won't say that. God asks you... In fact, many times in Scripture we find the word, Jesus is our shepherd, we are his sheep. Do you live like a sheep? Do you live hearing the voice of your shepherd amongst all the other voices that are out there? Do you get confused by the voices? Because see, listen, if we are a true sheep, and that includes me and everyone else in this room, then we should know the voice of our shepherd. And we should follow that voice wherever he goes. See, the truth of the matter is though that oftentimes we say the Lord is my shepherd. How many times have you quoted this statement? Or quoted this verse? I mean, most Christians who have been Christians for any length of time have Psalm 23 memorized. I laugh because as I was preparing for this message, I looked at all of these videos, and it's really, really cute when you see these little kids that are like three, four, five years old memorizing Psalm 23. And I saw one that I laughed, and I should have sent it to my mother-in-law, but I did not, because at the end of the verse, she goes, "Surely," and he goes, "My name's not Shirley." We memorize this verse, but do we really believe what it says? See, oftentimes we as individuals, we as Christians, get to a place, and followers of Jesus Christ, we get to this place of saying these things, but do we really mean them in our hearts? Are we willing to allow him to be our shepherd, or are we like a sheep with no shepherd who will go on our own way? Because see, the honest truth is, left to our own devices, and scripture proves this, world history proves this, left to our own devices, we will not be so successful. Left to our own devices, we often find ourselves in sin, or we find ourselves in trouble. We find ourselves in the midst of caves, or in the midst of holes that we need to be pulled out of. We need to be led to the green pastures. We need to be led to those places. When Jesus is your shepherd, he's going to lead us. He's going to guide us, but you have to be willing to be led. And this is the big mistake that we often say. Following Jesus is more than just a prayer of salvation that you accept him. Following Jesus means that you are willing to allow him to be your shepherd, which means you're going to allow him to guide you and direct you, and you're going to know his voice, hear his voice, and then follow his voice where he tells you to go. Oftentimes, we hear that voice, but we don't follow it. Because following the shepherd sometimes is work. Sometimes it's against what we want to do. But if Jesus being our good shepherd is really our good shepherd, then why would we not follow him wherever he sends us to? When he asks you to make a change, do you make a change? Or do we get offended? When he asks us to go somewhere where we may not want to go, do we go there? Do we do the difficult things that he asks us to do? Or are we only following him as a shepherd when we're in times of need and times of trouble? I went, bit, 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 bit. That's all, folks, right? Pastor Chaz, I've been off for too long. I got to get my mouth and my head working at the same speed again, right? So here's the problem. The problem is that oftentimes we want Jesus when we're in trouble. But we don't want Jesus to be our shepherd when things are good. Because when things are good and we're comfortable, Jesus wants you to go another step forward. And taking another step forward means that you're going to have to deal with something that you're... The shepherd never allows the sheep to stay in the same place. You know why? You ever raise the animals before and you leave them in the same place? Guess what happens? There's a lot of byproduct that builds up in that area. And sheep are notorious for devastating grass. They eat whatever they can find. There are actually people that will rent out their sheep so you can bring them into a forest area and let them eat all of the weeds and the briars and stuff like that. But they will totally devastate that. They will wipe it completely out. So if you are if your shepherd is Jesus, and you're in the same spot you have been for the last year, the last 2 years, the last 5 years, the last 10 years, then you're not really following the shepherd. Because a shepherd, Jesus, will never allow you to stay in the same place, because that doesn't lead you to green pastures. That leads you to a pasture full of crap. And I just said crap from the pulpit.
Amen.
You have to be moving forward. And that's why this psalm is so important. But you have to be willing to follow him. You have to be willing to do the things that the psalm calls us to do. A sheep that does not follow the shepherd quickly becomes dinner for either the enemy or the shepherd. But the second part of this promise is so wonderful. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. See, when the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. Does that mean that you get everything that you want? And you get everything, your bank account is full of money and all of it? No. But what it means is that you will have what you need. See, there's a difference between having your needs met and having your wants met. Those are two different things. Jesus loves you enough to meet your needs, but he doesn't always meet your wants, because your wants are sometimes less than what you need, and they're less than what he wants to bless you with. And so understand that Jesus, your shepherd, is going to meet your needs. He's not always going to meet your wants. And the problem is that as Christians, we get caught up in this because we think Jesus should meet every want that we have and not just our needs. Being or following a shepherd means that you'll get what you need. The shepherd knows the difference between your needs and your wants, and that we walk with him. The second part of this, the second verse says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This whole portion, this second portion of the psalm, begins to talk us through being led. Leadership is a very difficult thing to be in. Because when you're in leadership, you have to understand that you're leading people. That means that you have to have a mindset of like, listen, it's not just me. I once thought that leadership is kind of like raising a child. And in some ways, there's a lot of similarities there. But you know what? When you're raising a child, you forget about everything else, right? You're willing to make sacrifices for yourself, for your child. But as a leader in leadership, being led, being guided by someone means that you have to give up of yourself. You have to sacrifice. Jesus sacrificed his life. He sacrificed his will. For who? For all of us. He didn't want to go and die on a cross. He did it because he was leading us to green pastures. He was guiding us to that next place. This portion that says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. I laugh every time I read this. I'm like, who would deny being laid down in green pastures? I would have laid down in green pastures. And when I say that, think about this. Have you ever noticed green pastures aren't necessarily just this green hill that's on the side that's beautiful. To a sheep, that's the most wonderful, beautiful thing. I love where we live because I love driving down the road and seeing the hay fields and the green grasses and all of those things. That's beautiful. You ever go out west, there's not a green thing in sight. The only thing green is like this, and it pricks you when you touch it, and it hurts. But there is something to be said about this verse. When David says he makes me lie down in green pastures, what he's saying is that sometimes the Lord is going to cause you to take a rest in the middle of somewhere because he knows your life is going at a rate and a speed that's way too fast and you'll never survive that. And so he's going to pause, if you will, and make you lie down in a green pasture. Now, sometimes what we view as green pastures or what he views as green pastures isn't necessarily what we view. We are always in this mode of, I need to go to the next place, I need to go here, I need to go there. And sometimes the Lord says, just stop. Just stop and take a deep breath. Jay said 20 years of the church, and I that is true. We have will celebrate our full 20th year in April of next year. But I have often looked back at those 20 years and thought, man, the Lord did not move quick enough in many ways. And then I stopped, and the Lord convicted me and said, I was making you lay down in green pastures. And I'm like, but green pastures would have been a lot greener if there's like 1,000 people, right? And the Lord goes, no. You needed to be where you're at for the time that you're at, because I was doing something inside of you and inside of the community and inside of the people. And you needed to be there to complete that. See, oftentimes when we read this verse, we think, why would anyone refuse to lay down in green pastures? Well, we all do. We all find our way. We want to be here. We want to be there. And we miss out on the very thing that's happening right now. As we were watching our grandkids, I was sitting there and I was holding my grandson. He was sleeping. My granddaughter was over on the couch sleeping, and my wife and I were about sleeping, and we're sitting there, and I looked and I thought, where did all the time go? I remember holding my daughter at this age. And I sat there and I realized that for all my life, I was so trying to grow things, grow her, grow the kids, grow our relationship, grow my stomach. I was trying to do all of these things, right?
Success.
Yeah, success. I'm successful in one thing, Ben. That's all that matters.
You're doing good.
Thank you. Who has M&Ms for me? Come on, let's go. No, I'm kidding. But I realized this. Listen, we are so focused on the tomorrow, the next thing, the next events, the next moment, that we forget to relish that we have God with us right here, right now, in this place. I really noticed this actually last year when we went on vacation. We went out west. I was so looking forward to this vacation. I was planning everything. I was watching all these YouTube videos about the Grand Canyon and all these things. And I realized in the midst of it, almost three quarters of the way through this vacation, I'm like, we're almost done. And I paused and said, I had forgotten to relish in the fact of where we were. How many times do we look forward to an event and then we're so busy in the middle of the event that we forget everything that's going on? May I encourage you that the Lord wants you to, He wants you to lie down in green pastures. He wants you, listen, it's okay in the midst of a busy season to just stop, take a deep breath, and enjoy what's going on around you. To enjoy the life around you, to enjoy your grandkids, to enjoy your kids, to enjoy your life that He has brought you to, because that is what it means to lie down in green pastures. Don't be so focused on the tomorrow that you forget to enjoy the today. That's what this means when He says lie down in green pastures. I almost said lie down in green waters. That would be gross. He leads me beside still waters. Why is this important? Well, think about this. As a sheep, they want to be beside still waters because then they can lap up the water much easier. It's hard to, I don't know if you've ever, I have done this, and I'm a little ashamed to say this, but I've been hiking before, got down on my hands and knees and tried to drink from a stream. Note to self and note to all of you, when you're drinking out of a stream, make sure someone's not peeing up the stream from you. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. When you're drinking from the stream, don't turn your head towards the current. Because you know what happens? A fast-flowing stream with your head faced this way trying to drink water, you can drown yourself. Ask me how I know. So being led by still waters means it's peaceful. What happens in still waters? It's very peaceful. It's easy to drink from. The Lord wants to bring you to these places. Why? Because verse 3, He restores my soul. Do you understand what He's saying here? He's saying, I want you to lie down, take a break, take a breather, lie down in this green pasture. I want to lead you beside still waters to be able to get the refreshing that you need without having to worry about being drowned. All of these things. Why? Because your soul needs to be restored. David is telling himself this because, listen, he's making his proclamation. Remember David's life. What is he doing? He's on the run. He's running away from the enemy. He's running away from those that are trying to hurt him, harm him, kill him. And so he's racing away from all of those. And so he has to remind himself, take a deep breath. Enjoy what's around you. Being led means stop letting life control you. Instead, let the shepherd lead you. See, the problem that we have as Christians is that we allow our life to control us instead of allowing the shepherd to control us. How many times have you made a decision without praying about it? How many times have you made a lifelong decision about praying? I am going to call him out a little bit. My friend Pat Finley and I have this conversation all the time. Let the Lord lead you so you make right decisions and right choices. Because if you go above and in front of the Lord, oftentimes you find yourself where you have to go back and start over again. And so when we are being led, it means don't let life control you, but let the shepherd lead you. You don't have to worry about where the green pastures are. You don't have to worry. Listen, we get so hung up in what's my next step? Where am I going to go? What college am I going to? What job am I going to take this job? Am I going to take that job? Should I do this? Should I do that? And before we know it, we have not once stopped and said, Lord, where do you want me to be? Now, I have to tell you, if you're in that place, and you ask the Lord the question, you better be ready to hear what he has to say. Because what he says to you might be completely different from what you're doing today. The Lord moves in wonderful ways. But when we pause and we take a break, here's something else. It's hard to hear the Lord's voice when you're fast and you're going as fast as you can. And the noise of the world is all around you. It's hard to hear the Lord's voice. So what does he do? Pauses you, puts you in a green pasture beside still waters, and then says, let me restore your soul. Let me lead you. And hearing that is one of the most amazing things that we can receive. As a pastor, can I share a pastoral secret with you? Thank you, Ben, for answering. No one else did. No one else. I'll talk to you, Ben, since no one else wants to hear, okay? Yeah. In my everyday life, I get people that ask me almost daily, what should I do? Where should I go? You know, the majority of the time, I have no clue. Newsflash, I don't always have the answers, but I know the one who does.
That's right.
And so oftentimes, I can only encourage you to go, what did the Lord say? I don't know, I didn't pray about it. Well, then go pray about it. Ask him. Why are you asking me? Ask him. Let me lead you and guide you to him so he can tell you. Because, listen, we have to understand the biblical principles that are in Scripture can lead us and guide us. But the voice of the shepherd is the one that we really want to hear. There is something, oftentimes when someone says, what's the right decision here? I will often hear what someone is saying and then just try to help them understand what Scripture says. What does Scripture say about this? Well, are you going to, should I go and throw punch my friend? Well, yes, you should not do that. Scripture tells us you should love your brother and sister, okay? That's a biblical principle that me as a pastor, even as smarter as not smart as I am, can give you that guidance, right? But the reality of all of this is that Jesus wants to lead you. My job is to lead you to the cross so that you can see. Life is full of where should I go questions. Humans are always in the need to be led. Do you know, you understand that? I can't remember who said this, but Scripture says where there is no vision, right? That we will perish. People will perish. Maxwell once said, John Maxwell, one of the most wonderful men who leads, has many leadership books and has spoken on many leadership, says that in the absence of a leader, someone in a group needs to stand up. Someone needs to do that. I don't know if you've ever been in a group where people have there's no leader. It's you know, we often talk about, we have so many Indians but not enough chiefs, or we have too many chiefs and not enough Indians, right? You ever heard that statement? Maybe that's a little not PC, but I'm going to say it anyway. But the truth of the matter is that oftentimes we find in a group of people that people in general, humans in general, want to be led. Now, this is a good thing because we fall into being led by Jesus, but it's also a bad thing because if you're not being led by Jesus, then who are you being led by? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Are we being led by the shepherd? Are we going to allow him to lead us? Or are we going to be led by the world and the devil himself, who is the author of this world, the prince of this air, as Scripture tells us. And so who are you going to be led by? Are you going to be led by Jesus, or are you going to be led by this world? I choose Jesus. I want him to lead me. I want him to guide me. I want him to be my shepherd. And so that means I'm going to abandon everything that I have in my life. And no matter, and whatever he tells me, wherever he tells me to go, I'm going to go. What does that mean? Sometimes that means making a total fool of myself in the grocery store or anywhere else when I go up to ask someone, can I pray for you? No. Okay. Sometimes it leads to the most wonderful, beautiful things that you've ever experienced in your whole entire life. But you have to be willing to be led. Because Jesus knows exactly what you need. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Can I tell you, this is when it becomes personal? This is when the verse, I want you to realize something. In the beginning of this verse, in the beginning of this psalm, I should say, let me go back to Psalm 1. Says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse number 2 says what? He makes me lie down in green pastures. What is he? He is I'm not an English teacher, and I'm going to butcher this, but he is a third person. It's a reference to someone else. It's not a personal, it is just a comment. It's he. He makes, who is the he? We understand he is the Lord, is who David is talking about. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you, see what David did? He changed from the he to now the you. Why? Because now it's gotten personal. Now it's gotten to the place where David is no longer talking about a group of people and other, himself included. Now he's saying, this is where it changes for me. This is, now I'm looking at, the Lord is not just a he. The Lord is someone who's close to him. And he's made this, it's very important to look at this because this is a very important difference in the poetry that David is writing. He's making a clear distinction, a clear difference. Why is he making this personal? Because David has walked through some stuff. We often think about Christianity as being golden streets and roses and beautiful things. What happens when Christianity is like walking through the valley of the shadow of death? Is it still good? Of course it is. It's even better. But it becomes personal when you start going through stuff. Why? Because no one knows the stuff that the sheep are going through like the shepherd does. The shepherd knows the sheep. They know exactly every hurt, every pain, every scratch, every thorn in the side, every burr in the fur, or the wool, thank you. I'm like, it's not fur, is it hair? No, it's wool. The shepherd knows that. Why? Because the shepherd spends time with the sheep. So David has now made this, instead of being a third person, instead of being someone who he's generically talking about, he's now made it personal. He's drawn it back to himself and he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And then he goes on, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me. I'm going to stop there. But we have to understand that when things become personal, it changes. There's oftentimes you'll hear as we preach, as we talk, as we have these conversations about having a relationship with Christ, we talk about having a personal relationship with Christ. Why? Because listen, you can have a relationship through your parents. You could have a relationship through a friend. You can have a relationship through grandparents. But it changes when it's personal. When you have to go to church because your mom and dad drag you to church, is different than going to church when you want to go to church. Why? Because listen, we all have had to do stuff we didn't like to do, right? And what do? We mumble and grumble about it the whole entire time. I don't want to be here. I don't want to do any of this stuff. Perhaps some of your kids are that way today. But when it becomes personal, when it becomes their choice, get out of the way. Why? Because they want to be there. This is what David is saying. David is saying, have a personal relationship. He's making it about his relationship. He has stopped talking about everyone else. He stopped this proclamation that he was writing for his mighty men and everyone else and himself. He stopped, and now he's taking a moment in the middle of the psalm, and he's saying, it's about my relationship with Christ. Why? Because let's face it, I've been through some stuff, guys. That's what David is saying. And every time I go through something, guess who's there to save me? The Lord. You don't understand the stuff I had to go through when I went out into that field and looked Goliath in the eyes and said, I'm going to conquer you. You don't know the stuff I've been going through when I was anointed with oil and told I was going to be the king, but I had nothing to do with this. You don't know the stuff I've been through on all of the times I have served and planted and been with a king and served him and played my harp and did all these other beautiful things for him, and he's still trying to kill me. David is coming to a place in his relationship with the Lord and saying, I can be led by him because he's been there. I don't care what you're going through today. I don't care how severe or how bad or how light or how insignificant it is. The Lord knows exactly what you're going through. The Lord understands every very moment of it. And if you just are willing to give it over to him, if you're willing to say, lead me, he will lead you from that place to a place of green pastures, a place with still waters, a place where you can lay down. And that's when it becomes personal. That's when it becomes, God does care about me. But you have to be willing to be led. You have to be willing to go down that path. This is when it becomes personal. But it not only becomes personal, it becomes even more than that. He says in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. But then he goes completely off board. Your rod and your staff. It does what? Comforts me. I think the New King James says it corrects me. Or does it say comfort still? Yeah. See, the question is if you're really being led by Jesus and he's personal to you, then my one question to you is, are you correctable? Are you correctable? When I say that, what happens generally when I bring this, when I have spoken about this in times past, and generally when I ask people, are you correctable? Are you willing to be corrected? Are you willing to let the Lord do the work inside of you? Someone will go, yeah, I wish they would hear that. And they point to someone else. They point to their wife. They point to their husband. They point to their nephew. They point to their sister. They point to someone else that they're having trouble with. Let me turn that point around to you. And the question I'm asking you is, are you correctable? I'm not asking if someone else in your life is correctable. I'm asking, are you correctable? Because here's the point. The rod and thy staff are only comfort if you trust in the shepherd and where he's leading you. If Jesus truly is your shepherd, then being corrected brings comfort and not an offended spirit. Because see, what generally happens in Christians is they're all about, oh, as long as everything's all flowers and wonderful and all everything's okay, everything's beautiful. But as soon as you try to correct someone, and listen, I can speak from experience on this, as soon as you try to correct someone, guess what happens? The offense raises up, and eventually what happens is, Pastor Chaz, tell me if I'm wrong. What happens? They leave the church at some point. Because they're not correct. People want to say that, oh, I'm correctable. Yeah, then as soon as you're corrected, guess what happens? It's just like kids. I mean, let's face it. As kids, do kids like to be corrected? No. Sometimes you got to beat it into them, right? Amen. On the backside. And I know that's still not popular today, these days and age, but there's a place for that in my mind. The Bible does say, spare the rod, spoil the child.
Because you're
But I want to get back to us for a moment. Are you correctable? Life is full of moments in our life that can be used to grow us or cause us to stumble. And it's your choice. Do you understand that the Lord is going to lead you? He's going to lead you to green pastures and he's going to lead you beside still waters. But sometimes to get to that still waters, you have to go through the river to get there. Sometimes to get to that still water, you have to tread through the mud. Sometimes to get to that still water, you got to break. Listen, I'm not going to tell Ben because he'll want to go there. But there's a beautiful fishing spot on West Branch. I'll take you there someday, Ben. I promise you. But in order to get there, you have to trudge through these briars and poker bushes, whatever you want to call them. And to get there, it takes some work. You're going to cut yourself. You're going to cut your arms. You're going to. I come out of there looking like I was in World War III, you know, I faced the Wolverine and lost. But once you get there, it's beautiful. The water is still. The fish are huge. It's a beautiful place. Sometimes to get to those places, the Lord is going to lead you through some stuff that you have to get through. But you have to be willing to be corrected. The normal recourse for people is to get bent out of shape, get offended, and then either walk away from the situation or never grow and never learn to grow from the situation. Jesus never intended for you. Listen, this is why I keep saying this. God never intended for you to stay in the same place. If you stay in the same place, again, you're going to be in a stall full of crap with nowhere to go. I said it for a second time. But you're going to be in a place that you're not going to like. It's going to become stinky. It's going to become fly infested. And you're going to become infected and sick. And you're eventually going to die if you stay in the same place. You got to be moving. You got to be moving forward. And sometimes to move forward, you have to go through some stuff. And to go through some stuff means that I have to be willing to allow God not to offend me, but for him to correct me. And so when he tells you, Jason, it's time for you to go here. And what you have to go through might not be the fun. Might not be real fun. But I promise you on the other side, the still waters are waiting. Amen. The green pasture is there. But you got to go through it. And you got to be willing to do it. Because otherwise, it's real easy to point other people's faults out, but it's real hard to point your own out. We got to learn to be correctable. Listen, there is absolutely, positively nothing wrong with being corrected. It's the most beautiful thing. It is. It really is. Why? Because being corrected means that you're going to be in a better place. Now, I know I can see it in people's faces as I'm preaching. People go, but you don't know how people correct. They say things and they say all the things. Yeah, well, get over it. If you don't like the way someone said something, don't leave the words behind, but take the meat of what they're saying and grow. It is our job as individuals to speak in love. Yes, that is true. It's our job to try to do those things, but even when we do those things, you have to be willing to receive it. This is where the rod and the staff, they comfort us. A rod and a staff may seem... I've got a lot of time, but I'm going to say this. I think people get offended because the rod and the staff sometimes hurt. And I'm not talking about physical abuse. What I'm talking about is pride. People don't like to be told that they're wrong. People don't like to be told that they're in the wrong place. And God has someone better for them if they would just see that. Sometimes I wish I had a rod and a staff and I could just beat Ben over the head with it. I'm sorry, Ben. I could beat us over the head. Kidding, Ben.
That's a big stick.
I know, right.
Got a hard head.
I had to say Ben because I can say it's Pastor Chess, so because he preached for me last week. So, but the rod and the staff, we need that. We need to be directed. The staff, you understand? The staff is used to grab a hold of the sheep by the neck and to pull it. Do you know what the rod is used for?
Poke it,
beat it, smack it, catch its attention. Yeah, there you go, right? Sometimes we need the staff, and sometimes we need the rod upside our head to wake us up to see how bad we are. Jesus promises. David says that the Lord is our shepherd. Is he? He's going to make you lie down in green pastures. He's going to lead you beside still waters. He goes on, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I want to end with it by saying, I'll try to end with that. Try that again. There we go. My question to you is, the shepherd is only a shepherd if the sheep will listen. Do you understand that a shepherd without any sheep who listen to them is just a man standing out in the middle of the field with a rod and a staff? So the question to you is, are you going to allow Jesus to be your leader, to lead you, or are you going to allow him to be just someone standing out in the middle of the field? Because if he's your shepherd, then you have to be willing to be led. It means you're going to have to lay down yourself. You're going to have to lay down your wants, your desires, your dreams for his. If he's your shepherd, you're going to have to want his correction. You're going to have to know what that correction is. Corey, you can come forward, worship team. You're going to have to know what that correction is. Listen, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, myself, Pastor Chaz, anyone else in this room doesn't want you to stay where you're at. God specifically doesn't want you to stay where you're at. He wants you to grow. To know the correction is from the shepherd is to know the shepherd's voice. Do you know if I went into a field of sheep, they weren't mine, and I tried to correct one of those sheep, you know what they're going to do? They're not only going to ignore me, they may turn around and buck me, they may kick me, they may put their head down and ram me. They're going to be angry at me. Why? Because I'm not their shepherd. Can I encourage you today, as we close off this first half of Psalm 23, to allow Jesus to lead you, to look up to him and say, Lord, listen, this is one of the most dangerous prayers I can tell you to pray, but it's one of the best prayers you ever pray. Lord, convict me where I'm wrong. Convict me where I need to be convicted. Lead me where I need to be led. Guide me where I need to be guided. Will you stand with me, please? The simple fact is this. If the Lord is your shepherd, then these things will come naturally. And you'll desire, not only, let me rephrase it, you'll not only desire, you'll want to be corrected by him. Why? Because he wants you to be in a better place. I don't care if you've been here and you've been a Christian for 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. Your prayer should be, Lord, I don't want to stay here. So correct me. Beat me with that rod. Grab me with that staff. Lead me beside the still waters and the green pastures. And I will love every single moment of it, no matter how hard it is. Because if the shepherd is good enough for you to believe that he died on the cross for, why isn't he good enough to lead you? To correct you? See, oftentimes we make the difference that Jesus is good enough to die on the cross for me, but he's not good enough to help me through my every single day. Because I'm not going to listen to him. I'm not going to be convicted by the sin. I'm not going to be convicted by my life. But he's good enough to save me. He's good enough to brand my hiney with the fire insurance I need to stay out of hell, but he's not good enough for me to be pushed and prodded and led today. Don't make that mistake. Let Jesus guide you and direct you today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you have done and all that you are doing in our midst. We can truly stand here today, and hopefully we can, and say, the Lord is my shepherd. If you're here today or watching at home online and you can't say those words because the Lord hasn't been your shepherd, you know, I'm going to pause for a moment. Can you open up your eyes and look at me for a moment? I don't do this very often, but I really feel the Lord is leading me to do this. There are some of you here today that think you've been... Some of you are here today thinking that you've been following Jesus. But what you've really been doing is following your plan that you have in your heart for Jesus. You said the words and you think, oh, my salvation is secured because I said a prayer. The truth of the matter is you haven't given up your old life. You've been living your old life. We would just the idea that Jesus is going to save you. I believe today that the Lord is wanting to work in people's hearts and their minds and say, it's time to get real. Salvation, yes, it starts with the salvation, the sinner's prayer. Yes, that's so true, and it's a beautiful thing. But the reality of a salvation in Jesus Christ means that you're being willing to be led by him. And so I want to encourage you today. I believe that the Lord is actually encouraging you today to say, are you truly allowing him to be your shepherd? Are you truly allowing him to lead you? Because if you're not, then I have to question whether that salvation and the prayer that you prayed that day is really true. And on my watch, I don't want one single person ending up down there. I want them all to be up there. And so make sure today, whether you're at home online or you're watching at home online, hopefully all of you here are watching too. But if you're here today, make sure, beyond of a shadow of a doubt, that he is your shepherd. That you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, without doubt. I'm willing to be corrected. I'm willing to be led. I'm willing to go where he tells me to go. All of those things say that he is your shepherd. Make sure today that that's the truth. Make sure that it's the time and that you're following him. So, Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that we can proclaim that you are our shepherd. And for those that can't, it's simply a decision you make in your heart and words that you say, that you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe that he died on the cross for you. But that also means that you're willing to be corrected by him. You're willing to be led by him. You're willing to be guided by him. You're willing to go where he tells you to go. Lay down where he tells you to lay down. Be corrected when needed to be corrected. Lord, let us be those people that don't want to stay in the same place, that wants to go to the next place because the next place is a beautiful green pasture that you have prepared for us. Lord, help us today. Overcome our self. Overcome our pride. Overcome our indignant righteousness self that we have in our, that we follow. Instead, let us give it all over to you, be guided by you, and then make the decisions we need to go forward in those places, not staying in the same place. Lord, help us today. Guide us today. Lead us in this place. So we can truly say that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Help us today to be those people, to be your sheep, as you are our shepherd. We praise you, we glorify you, we honor you, and we lift you high and mighty now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, before we sing this worship song, what I want to do is I want to invite you to come forward. If you need to ask the Lord to be your shepherd again, these altars are open. Do it. If you need to apologize to the Lord and ask for forgiveness because you've been in the same place for way too long and you haven't been growing, then come forward. You know what? We as a prayer team, myself, Pastor Chaz, other people, would love to pray for you. You know what we do when we pray for you? We wash all that crap off that you've been standing in. That's what prayer really does. So that you can be presented and lifted up in another way to the King. If you'd like to, we'd love to open up these altars for you to come forward and pray. We'd love to pray with you. Let's sing this worship song together. We invite you to come forward.
I confess I reach.
Something I said before, one of the most dangerous prayers you can pray is ask the Lord to convict you of where you're at today. May I encourage you today, as you go home this week, that you pray that prayer every single night. Ask Him, Lord, convict me. Don't be afraid of it. There's nothing wrong with conviction. There's nothing wrong with correction. It's a beautiful thing, especially in the hands of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because if He truly has, and you truly believe that everything He has is for our benefit, everything that He has done was for our benefit, then why not trust Him with everything that's inside of you. Ask Him today. And then be willing to be corrected, guided, and led, because it leads to still waters and green pastures. That's so worth it. Oh, Lord, we thank You so much. I thank You personally, Father, for all that You're doing in our midst. Lord, we don't have words to thank You enough for who You are and how You lead us and guide us. But we pray, Father, do it. Lead us, guide us, strengthen us, convict us, Father. I pray that not only for us individually, but I pray for us corporately, myself. Lord, show us where we're wrong and where we need to move forward. Because, Father, we don't want to stay in the same place. We don't want to stay in the place that we've always been. We want to be led to those green pastures and those still waters. So, Lord, send us to those places. And as we pray and ask You to convict us and show us where we need to be corrected, we trust, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that You will be there with us, walking with us, guiding us, and showing us the direction. We're so thankful for that, Father. Send us there today, Father. Help us to walk in that way and to be led and guided by You with every step we take. We glorify You, we honor You, we praise You, we lift You high and mighty because You deserve that and so much more. We love You, Lord. Lead us and guide us. Be our shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Have a wonderful week. Go forth sharing the love of God. Thank you for showing up today and being here today. Enjoy your last day of the 4th of July holiday. Be blessed, and we'll see you again next week. God bless.